Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Global 2000 when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child in the world. Today, it's down to only 38 days. Now, we produce grain for export, and then we buy grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. They're imported into the United States. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support the Global 2000 Population Reduction Program. Globalization may be good for business, but globalization is bad for you and it's bad for me. In 1940, we all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year. Today, we have a three-day supply in our refrigerators, and we believe in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us. Now, over the past 60 years, we've traded a one-year food supply for about 3 days. These Global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, so says the Club of Rome. Now, these evil madmen with their Global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. And let me show you from the scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call and order yours right now. The number, 417-273-4967. And remember, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, just go to the website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free General Law CD package. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about Global 2000 and the Club of Rome with the Global 2000 program. Their first president, Aurelio Pecci's solution to the overpopulation problem in a second. Keep in mind that the Global 2000 book or the report was published by Dr. John Coleman back in 1992. You can order a copy yourself. It's 1-800-942-0821. That's 1-800-942-0821. Or you can write to World in Review, WIR. Stands for World in Review. That's their newsletter. They're located at 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada, 89706. Again, that's WIR, 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada, 89706. The booklet is $12. Well, Pecci's solution to overpopulation, he said, damaged by conflicting policies of the major countries and blocs, roughly patched up here and there, the existing international economic order is visibly coming apart at the seams. The prospects of the necessity of resource to triage, deciding who must be saved, is a very grim one, but indeed, it is a necessary one. But if, lamentably, events should come to such a pass, then the right to make such decisions cannot be left to just a few nations because it would lend them ominous powers over the life of the world's hungry. What Pecci and Global 2000 said must be done is to give a central organization, the One World Government, the New World Order, ominous powers over the life of the world's hungry. The decision to play God. And we've seen just how this works in Somalia, Eritrea, and Ethiopia. And we're going to see in the future how global 2000 powers unfold in the other areas of Africa, especially in South Africa. Once the African National Congress, the ANC, gains control with the connivance and knavery and treason of Washington, we'll have an opportunity to witness starvation stalk the land alongside AIDS, which will carry away millions upon millions of blacks in South Africa, where famine and plague has never been experienced before. And like Pol Pot, Mandela will have no compunction in obeying the Committee of 300 orders to implement mass genocide of black useless eaters. Already in Rwanda, we see that the white farmers have been driven out. And now, a nation that was a net food exporter is now a food importer. Same thing is happening in South Africa as I speak in the year 2005. And in addition to that, AIDS is 25% of the people of South Africa are now infected with AIDS, 37% in Botswana, and nearly 25% in Rwanda. The Committee of 300 program, along with Global 2000, is in full force and effect right now on the Horn of Africa. And, in fact, it's in place in South Africa and on the east coast of Africa, going on up from South Africa all the way up to the Horn of Africa. We find AIDS is so rampant now that it is affecting the gross domestic product of several of those nations, several of those East African nations. Now, Global 2000 has been accepted by Canada, the United States, Spain, Belgium, Australia, Holland, Luxembourg, Britain, France, and by South Africa. Official White House documents during Carter's tenure recommended acceptance of the Club of Rome Global 2000 policy that should guide decision-making in the future. One particular document headed Trends for the 80s said that the U.S. economy was shifting out of its industrial phase into what is called an information economy. Herein were grown and nurtured the viruses that have attacked and killed the American dream by going directly for the jugular vein, the American middle class, unique in the history of the world and made possible by mechanization of agriculture and a giant leap forward in industrialism. Man, especially United States middle class man, was the cancer. By destroying our industrial and agricultural base, the development that the conspirators brought the middle class of America down low. This is the stage that we're at in 1992, with our economy well into a pre-planned depression, with not a single politician on the horizon willing to call it a depression. Now, in the 1990s, we went through a robust period of inflation and expansion. We approved the WTO, NAFTA, GATT, and now have exported 2 million jobs from America to India, China. We have now exported our industrial base to countries all over the world, and we have adopted this concept of the information age, or the information network, or the information economy. Well, let's see how this plays out. Since 1973, Americans have not received a real increase in productivity. You're earning more and more dollars, more and more inflated dollars, but you have poorer and poorer jobs. You now have to have a man and his wife working to support the family, and debt is continually growing, and the average debt is $11,000 per family just on your credit cards. Now, we don't call it a depression, but let's see. Your real wages are going down. Your standard of living is going down. Your debts are going up. Your jobs are being exported to other countries. Your industrial base has already been exported. 33% of Americans worked in manufacturing 20 years ago. Today it's 13%. Now that's a depression. But it has been mislabeled. We talk about full employment with 5.2% unemployed. We don't talk about those that are no longer looking for employment or who are no longer engaged in manufacturing. 20% of Americans who were engaged in manufacturing 20 years ago must be doing something else today. Working at McDonald's, working at Walmart, working at some private enterprise, working or not working, or living off the government, or. But they're not looking for employment. They're not even in the game. But unlike the 1930s, we're not calling this a depression, but that's exactly where we are. And the high-paying jobs, now including white-collar work, for instance, the people who will be doing your income tax work for H&R Block will not be Americans, they will be Indians in India who will be doing your tax returns for the year 2004. Your 2004 tax returns at H&R Block. Tens of thousands of these white-collar jobs are exported now to India. And I'm sure that's great for India's economy. And I'm happy for the Indians. What is that going to do for America or Americans? Herein were grown and nurtured the viruses that have attacked and killed the American dream. And before it's all over in 1995, 96, 2005, 2006, or 2015 and 16, millions upon millions of Americans will have become useless eaters, consigned to the scrap heap to be disposed of in the most convenient manner possible. Are these strong words? Well, indeed they are, but they are words which must be spoken. We cannot keep silent in the face of such present danger, nor should we fool ourselves into believing that it can't happen here in America. It's already happened, past tense. It's all around us. We're observing it day after day. President Bush has shown that the kind of America we once knew has vanished. President Bush thought nothing of going into Panama, kidnapping a head of state, and killing 7,000 civilians who were unfortunate enough to get in the way of Operation Just Cause. Nor did he hesitate to slaughter thousands of Iranian soldiers deliberately, not allowing them to surrender while our forces bombarded and destroyed the civilian infrastructure of Iraq. Now, are we so foolish as to believe that there is not a Thomas Enders to be found in America today? Some of us might not know the name Thomas Enders, so let me give you what you need to know. Thomas Enders was a high-level State Department official who oversaw the slaughter of an estimated 2 million Cambodians by the Khmer Rouge as the first practical test of how this kind of mass murder could be carried out and gotten away with. Now, do we foolishly think, as brainwashed as we have become here in America, that there are not some in the power structure who would order NATO forces and or United Nations forces drawn from the Philippines or Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, India, or China to fire upon American civilians who are not prepared to accept the rule of the New World Order? If there are some among us who still cling to the memory of America as it was in the 1950s, then let them read Global 2000. There are so many reports in existence besides Global 2000 which clearly spell out for us the America of the year 2000 and beyond. But unless we bestir ourselves and look for them, we will remain in ignorance, because we will not find the kind of information that I'm talking about in the prostituted news media of the Western world. It's not on CBS, NBC, or ABC. You won't find it on Fox. Global 2000 and the New World Order, for which it stands, plan fundamental societal changes for man. Parts of Global 2000 bear a close resemblance to the work of Lewis Mumford entitled Transformation of Man, written in 1956. Mumford argued that some changes are taking place all the time, but that there seems to be particular periods in history where society has gone through fundamental changes. Mumford said that there have been 5 or 6 such severe changes in world history, the most recent being the end of the Middle Ages. This is significant because what the New World Order is in the closing stages of doing is to return the world to a new Dark Ages. That's the plan. Every society ever known rests on the same basic assumptions about who we are, what kind of world we're in, and what is ultimately important to us. Some such sets of assumptions are found underlying the institutions, mores, patterns of thought, and value systems that characterize society. These are seldom in written or formalized form, simply because they're absorbed in the memory pattern of each newborn in much the same way that a puppy pointer can instinctively go out and raise quail in a field. John Reese, founder of the Tavistock Institute and master brainwasher of the world, recognized these facts and truths in 1921, and he set out to make his observations work on a global scale. He was commissioned to do this by the Royal Institute for International Affairs. The full account of Tavistock can be found in 2 words, which I did on the subject back in 1985, and they're still available today. Beginning in 1946, the United States was targeted by Tavistock to forcibly change our perceptions and values. The results of that successful war are on us, clearly visible on all sides today. Tavistock Institute for Human Relations borrowed from Thomas Kuhn the structure of scientific revolution, particularly by using his term paradigm change when referring to societal transformation such as we have undergone very much against the will of the majority. Examples of cultural paradigm shifts are acceptance of homosexuality and lesbianism today, pornography, disgustingly degraded music that we call rap and rock music, modern art, which is in reality just foolishness, degradation of education, the dumbing down of America, infanticide, also called aborticide, we call it abortion or right to choose, rampant divorce, now affecting approximately 2 marriages out of every 3 in America, and the disrespect for religious institutions. In the political arena, we have allowed tampering with our priceless Constitution, permitted our president to break both domestic and international laws and treaties, examples of which are the invasion of Panama and the war on Iraq, first and second. Pressure groups known also as lobbyists, who change the direction of Congress on many vital issues. We call that lobbying. The Bible calls it gifts and bribes. Tavistock called this tampering with minds on a mass scale as the basic way of perceiving, thinking, valuing, and doing associated with a particular view of reality. In other words, we as a nation have now been forced to accept changes that will eventually rot our souls if they've not already done so. The acceptance of the Global 2000 report by James Earl Carter marked the turning point, the paradigm shift away from the thoroughly decent society that America was up until the 1950s, practicing the law of God and the Ten Commandments. The idea that vile things cannot happen in America simply because we are Americans must now be dispensed with if we want our nation and we want to take our nation back. It was beyond the capabilities of any of us to forecast the consequences of such demonically inspired paradigm shifts, such as throwing the Bible out of our public schools. But the conspirators always knew what they would be. Most of us did not even realize the profound changes that were being forced upon us, such as sodomy, lesbianism. So how could we resist them? But now that some of us have taken years of our time to investigate those paradigm shifts, there's little or no excuse left for us to remain in ignorance. Now the choice, now the cause and effect of such profound changes have been fully identified. Now at least a few of us will have to make meaningful changes or meaningful choices. We're now in a position to see the enemy engaged in war with the whole American nation, and therefore the time has arrived for us to arm ourselves with the knowledge that is available and then put up the struggle of our lives to turn this nation away from the very brink of total disaster. It was the hallmark of the mind-benders of the 1950s, the Club of Rome, NATO, the Tavistock Institute, and the hundreds of institutions and foundations engaged in the war on America, that the study of conscientiousness was reduced to examination of behavior. These behavioral scientists, as they like to call themselves, then set to work to modify your behavior, to make you more amenable to changes that none of us ever understood, nor did we desire, as part of the process of herding all of us into this one world government, this new world order. Global 2000 is part and parcel of the structure of behavioral modifications, also known as brainwashing. Global 2000 is working for a total belief system, an organization of beliefs which we Americans accept as truth of a country in which we live, verbal and nonverbal, explicit and explicit, conscious and unconscious, which are now totally unscriptural and anti-God. We put it in general terms. We believe that President Saddam Hussein was a monster who must be eliminated. We were taught to believe in the first Gulf War that Kuwait was a democracy that we had to restore. That was a lie. We were taught to believe that Manuel Noriega was a dangerous criminal. In fact, he was a CIA operative. We believe that women have the right to destroy their unborn infants. It's a simple matter of birth control. And we believe that men whose minds are cesspools have a right to engage in filthy, vile sexual practices. And we believe that our military has the right to murder Iraqi soldiers and civilians. We believe that we have the right to dispose of those world leaders who disagree with us. And finally, we shall also believe that excessive restrictions imposed on our lifestyles by environmentalism is right and needful. We shall also be taught to believe that environmentalists have the right to destroy our industrial base and plunge millions of Americans into the icy cold waters of unemployment. We will be taught to believe that it is right to murder millions of people on a global scale because there are simply too many of them. And when we get to this point of no return, we will be taught also to believe that it is right to live under the most evil dictatorship ever known to man, and we will accept it along with the mark of the beast in our right hands and in our foreheads. And that's because that is what Global 2000 teaches. Now that's the first part of the Global 2000 report put out by John Coleman. Let me give you his name and number again. We're reviewing the book Global 2000, A Blueprint for Global Genocide, a report put out by the Club of Rome, the CFR, and published by Cyrus Vance, or written by Cyrus Vance, and presented as American Foreign Policy and adopted by Jimmy Carter back in 1978. John Coleman, is a British intelligence officer. He was a British intelligence officer for more than 30 years. He retired. He's in his 80s now. Lives up in Carson City, Nevada, and publishes a newsletter, a political newsletter, called World in Review. Let me give you his name and number and write this down. It's World in Review, Post Office Box, it's 2533 North Carson Street. No P.O. Box. 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada, 89706. And if you'd like to get a catalog, they put out a catalog, they put out a newsletter, and they puts out a number, I don't know how many, 20, 30, 50, 75, I didn't count them. They've got a catalog of all of the monographs, as they call them in Britain, essays, we call them here in the United States, on a number of topics and subjects. AIDS, Global 2000, the war in Iraq. You name it, Coleman has written about it. And written about it from the perspective of a British intelligence officer. I mean, he has a perspective on world events that nobody else has. Nobody has the perspective that this guy Coleman has. The number to call, 1-800-942-0821. That's 1-800-942-0821. The catalog is free. This booklet on... this essay on Global 2000, a blueprint for global genocide, I believe is $12. If you're a WIR subscriber, it's $10.80, but who cares about $1.20? All right, dynamite, and it's well worth the money. We're almost to the halfway point. Not quite, but almost. Let me give you a reminder. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of the radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to the website georgegordon.org or call the Law School 417-273-4967. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Now let me give you a reminder that I recommend WIR, Global 2000, John Coleman, but that doesn't mean that John Coleman is going to recommend the Law Hour or editorial review. And we don't ask them to. We need to give you, though, an explanation. A lot of times people write me a letter and say, do you know what this guy said about you, Gordon? Why are you promoting his material when he says that you're a no good so-and-so? Well, keep in mind that the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events. We do it from the scriptural perspective 7 days a week. Not everybody agrees with our scriptural perspective. That's the number one problem. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend the books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. The endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications so endorsed or recommended are going to reciprocate and say, well, gee, Gordon says that this author and this publication is pretty good. I think you'd enjoy reading it. That doesn't mean that they're going to reciprocate by saying, well, gee, you ought to listen to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. And that's because most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political. They don't agree with our politics. They're religious. They don't agree with our religious. They're economic. They don't agree with our economics. They're sectarian, or they're racial, or they're ethnic partisans, whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. So when I review somebody's book, you know, like I'm doing tonight on Global 2000, I say, you know, I think that book is well worth the $12, and you ought to read it and alert yourself so that you can make some kind of an intelligent decision as to what do I want to do over the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years concerning Global 2000 and the New World Order? How do I want to protect myself and my family from the threat that Coleman is warning us about? So I'm recommending Global 2000 for that purpose. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to recommend anything else that I don't know about. But that particular book, I think, is dynamite. In fact, I have received a number of copies of The World in Review, and I can say without any exaggeration or reservation that I think it's one of the best political analysis newsletters out there. I mean, this guy's got his finger right on the pulse of reality. Not the reality that we like to indulge ourselves in by listening to Dan Rather and CBS News. I mean, the reality of this is where the bear does it, and this is where the rubber meets the road. Like it or lump it. And there are some life and death decisions here that all of us have to make. And the decisions that you make in the year 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 are going to determine whether you live or die in the years 2015, 20, 25, or 30. And that's just where reality is. People had decisions to make in 1930, 35, 40, 45. Many of them died because of the decisions that they made. Many of them lived based upon the decisions that they made. Albert Einstein left Germany in 1935 and lived. Millions of others decided to stay and see what was going to happen and died. We're facing the same life and death decision concerning Global 2000 that those Jews had to face in 1930, 35, and 40. I mean, that's just where that's at. So I think that World in Review is a good publication for you to familiarize yourself with. And John Coleman has, I'm going to guess now, I don't have a catalog in front of me, but I'm certain that he's got 50 of these essays. 50 of these political essays. And they're not from a specific Democratic or Republican point of view. They're from an American point of view that says, you know, boys and girls, here's a choice that has to be made. And you need to make it. Let me tell you what's going on. And this guy has been very careful now. He's an MI6 agent. He still belongs to British intelligence. And he told me, he said, I can't tell you everything that I know because it's classified. And I said, if only 10% of what you're telling me, which is now declassified, the world, is on a collision course with destruction. And he agreed. He said, that's correct. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And you know, Bible prophecy, Matthew 24, Jesus of Nazareth said the same thing in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. He said, the world is on a collision course with disaster. And the Messiah put a number with it. He said, there's never been a time like it, and there will never be anything like it again. It is going to dwarf Noah's flood, which killed everybody on planet Earth but 8 people. Now, put that one in your pipe and smoke it. That's what the Messiah said. John Coleman is simply laying out the secular side of here's what's going on. Now, let me point out that in the first half of this Global 2000, we saw terms like useless eaters, AIDS, flu, bubonic plague, Lassa fever, New World Order, Global 2000, protocols of the learned elders of Zion, Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, the Committee of 300, the Club of Rome, the Tavistock Institute, the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations is what that CFR refers to. The Olympians, the One World Order, New World Order, No Flesh Saved Alive, Post-Industrial Zero Growth, Weapons of Mass Destruction, Depleted Uranium is a weapon of mass destruction being used against our own soldiers in Iraq today. Depleted Uranium. These terms, these subjects are covered in many of the monographs, treatises, essays that John Coleman writes. Let me give you his name and number one more time. It's Dr. John Coleman, Global 2000, A Blueprint for Disaster. or global genocide is what we're reviewing this week. To order a copy, call 1-800-942-0821, or you can write to WIR World in Review is the name of the newsletter. World in Review, 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada, 89706. Part 2. That's the end of Part 1. Let's take a look at Part 2, Global 2000. Since exposing the Global 2000 genocidal blueprint, which I started investigating in 1969, in conjunction with my investigations into the Club of Rome and its post-industrial society, and let me say that WIR, that's World in Review, was the very first to bring these matters to the attention of the American public. A great advance in the killing of millions of useless eaters has taken place. Moreover, let me add that the pace of wholesale killings has accelerated in the past 12 months, and it continues to do so. The revelation that AIDS is a deliberately created virus which was released in Africa and Brazil with the specific intent of killing millions of people was literally confirmed by British researcher Dr. John Seale, a member of the Royal College of Surgeons. Many other man-made viruses have since been released, and in the course of this white paper we shall deal with some of them as we proceed. This horrifying truth that some of the most powerful people in our governments, backed by some of the most powerful individual families on earth, deliberately embarked on a course designed to kill 2.5 billion people by the year 2010, and it is almost impossible to confront. Not that planned genocide is a new thing. In 1932, the all-powerful Harriman family assembled the top eugenics specialists in the world at the Third International Conference of Eugenics held at the Museum of Natural History in New York City. That symposium was sponsored by Mrs. H.R. DuPont of the Delaware DuPont family dynasty, along with Mrs. E.E. Harriman, the mother of one world government specialist, the late Averill Harriman, Major Leonard Darwin, the son of Charles Darwin, Mrs. John T. Pratt, Mrs. Walter Jennings, Dr. Harvey Kellogg, and Mrs. Cleveland Dodge of Dodge Phelps Corporation. Mrs. Pratt was from the Standard Oil Company, Pratt's, while Colonel Draper, one of the invited guests, was the founder of the Draper Foundation, well known for its views on inferior races. The sponsors represented the wealthiest oil interests, pharmaceutical companies, mining and food manufacturing companies in America and around the world. This select gathering heard speeches deriding overpopulation by what the specialists characterized as worthless people consuming too many of the natural resources of the world. Their resources, the resources of these rich and powerful families. The poor, especially the poor of the colored races, had no good reason to be on earth and were to be eliminated. Dr. Rudin, who later headed Hitler's Racial Hygiene Bureau, was chosen as the president of the International Federation of Eugenics Organizations. For those who have not had this information before, Hitler's race laws were developed at the Cold Spring Harbor Eugenics Laboratory entitled Model Eugenic Sterilization Law. Now, the distinguished guests were treated to a speech delivered by Henry Fairchild Osborne. Osborne, a nephew of British banker asset J.P. Morgan. The following is a summary of what Osborne said in his opening address back in 1932 to the Eugenics Society. He said, quote, "The outstanding generalization of my world tour are that and what may be summed up as six overs. Over-destruction of natural resources, now actually worldwide. Over-mechanization in the substitution of the machine for animal and human labor, rapidly becoming worldwide. Overconstruction of warehouses, ships, railroads, wharves, and other means of transport, replacing primitive transportation. Overproduction of food and the mechanical wants of mankind, chiefly during the post-World War I period, the speculative period. Overconfidence in future demand and supply, resulting in too rapid extension of both natural resources and mechanical equipment. Overpopulation beyond the land areas or the capacity of the natural and scientific resources of the world, with consequent permanent unemployment of the least fitted. Unquote. Now, I have reached the opinion that overpopulation and underemployment are twin sisters. From this point of view, I even find that the United States is overpopulated at the present time. Remember, this was in 1932. In nature, the less fitted individuals would gradually disappear, but in civilization, we are keeping them in the community in the hopes that in brighter days, they may find employment. This is only another instance of humane civilization going against the order of nature and encouraging the survival of the unfittest, not the survival of the fittest. Later in the proceedings, Dr. Clarence G. Campbell addressed the distinguished gathering in the following terms. He said, "The leader of the German nation, Adolf Hitler, aptly supported by Dr. Frick, who was in the audience, and guided by German anthropologists and social philosophers, has been able to construct a comprehensive policy of population development and improvement that promises to be epochal in racial history. It sets a pattern which other nations and other race groups must follow if they do not wish to fall behind in racial quality, in their racial accomplishments, and in their prospects for survival." Let me pause here and make an observation. Who is it that are the real rednecks and the anti-racial people in the world? Isn't it the oligarchs? Isn't it the snobs at the top of the feeding chain? I mean, the people who were here at this meeting were the creme de la creme, you know, the creme de la creme of the world's rich and famous. Remember? The DuPont family? The DuPonts? The Harrimans? Averill Harriman? The mother of the world government specialist, the late Averill Harriman? Major Leonard Darwin, the son of Charles Darwin, the famous evolutionist, Mrs. John T. Pratt, Mrs. Walter Jennings, Harvey Kellogg, Mrs. Cleveland Dodge. Come on, boys and girls. These people are at the Eugenics Society. These people are talking about genocide. Eliminating whole races of people. You saw that. 2 million died in Cambodia right after the Vietnam War. We're witnessing that in Darfur in Somalia. We saw that in Rwanda in 1995. We have been sitting on the sidelines watching genocide after genocide after genocide. Don't we recognize what we're looking at? Can't we see? If people can kill 2 million Cambodians, can't they kill 2 million Californians? 2 million Floridians? 2 million New Yorkers? Have you thought about it in those terms? Well, it hasn't happened here yet, but the plans are afoot to do it here. And Ezekiel chapter 5 and 6 spell out how one-third of our nation is going to be destroyed in a war. Then following the war, one-third will be destroyed by famine and starvation, that is, famine and disease. And then the final third will be deported around the world, as we see in Deuteronomy 28:68. Now, I'm going to cover that a little bit later, and I'll show you what Moses had to say about it. Moses had a lot to say about this eugenics. Moses had a lot to say about Global 2000. Not in the words Global 2000, New World Order, but Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 are the penal clause chapters that are aimed directly at the United States of America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Rhodesia, and Great Britain. I would contend that it's time for us to wake up and pay attention to what's going on around us. Dr. Coleman is reporting what's going on around us. Bible prophecy will explain to you, here's who's doing it and here's why. Here's who and here's why. Survival now is going to be dependent upon 9/10 die, 1/10 survive. Are you going to be in the 9/10 or the 1/10? It's like riding on the Titanic. 1,500 are going to die, 800 are going to survive. Are you going to be in the 1,500 or the 800? You know, that's the bottom line. The mass genocide the world is undergoing today, in 1995, in 2005, and will be experiencing in 2015, is the logical outcome of the philosophies espoused by the rich and the powerful. That the world is overpopulated by unwanted and unnecessary human beings. The majority of these human beings, these poor people of color, what the conference called layer upon layer of lower class, lower races. This was the platform adopted by the International Federation of Eugenics Organizations and put into practice by the World Health Organization of the United Nations and the governments of the world who are determined to create this new world order. It's public policy of the United States of America and the United Nations. Now, boys and girls, time to wake up. You're going to have a decision to make, and the decision that you make is yours to make. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here to report facts. And then you can decide what you want to do. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here to tell you that you got a decision to make. On October the 2nd, 1970, Robert McNamara, addressing a gathering of the world's leading bankers, restated the position taken in 1932 by Henry Fairchild Osborne. McNamara said, quote, "We can begin with the most critical problem of all, population growth. It is the gravest issue that the world faces over the decades immediately ahead. At the present trends, the world's population would not stabilize until about the year 2020, at a population of around 10 billion people, more than double the population of 1970. He went on to say, "We can assume that the levels of poverty, stress, hunger, crowding, and frustration that such a situation will cause in the developing nations, which by then would contain 9 out of 10 human beings on planet Earth, would be unlikely to assure social or political stability worldwide, or for that matter, military stability." Now, it's interesting that McNamara referred to the year 2020, which is within the target date set by Global 2000 planners to have achieved their goal by wiping out 2.5 billion useless eaters. "It is not a world that any of us would want to live in," McNamara said. "Is such a world inevitable? It is not sure, but there are two possible ways in which a world of 10 billion people can be averted. Either the current birth rates must come down more quickly, or the current death rates must go up. There's no other alternative." Robert McNamara, Secretary of Defense in the Kennedy and Johnson years. Did you hear that statement? Here's a top policymaker in America back in 1970. I'm not talking about, you know, this is something that's coming. I'm talking about this happened 35 years ago, for crying out loud. This has been public policy now in this country for 35 years. It's not a world that any of us would want to live in. Now, I'm not really sure that I wouldn't want to live in this world, because there is a God in heaven, at least I believe it. I don't know how many people he has in mind. I don't know what God's population plan is, but I don't think that George Gordon ought to get in his way or play the role of God and decide who's going to live and who's going to die and how much too much population is. Now, of course, these people don't believe in God. They're evolutionists. They believe that they are gods. They practice a different religion. They have a God. They have a religion. They have a plan. And they're willing to die for their plan. This plan has been in operation for 200 years. 200 years. And they're in the process of executing it. And it's going to affect George Gordon. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect your wife, and it's going to affect my wife. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect my children. Now, I've made some pretty hard, fast decisions concerning the information that I'm giving you. And I'm suggesting that you ought to be thinking about making some hard, fast decisions and forget about March Madness. Forget about spring break and who you're going to lay in the back of your Chevy van, boys and girls, and pay more attention to whether or not you're going to be alive here to lay anybody in your Chevy van over the next 10, 15, or 20 years. Now, there are, of course, many ways in which the death rates can go up. And this is Robert Strange McNamara. There are, of course, he says, many ways in which the death rates can go up. In a thermonuclear age, we can accomplish it very quickly. Famine and disease are nature's ancient checks on population and population growth, and neither one has disappeared from the scene. I want to point out that thermonuclear war is coming to a city near you in your lifetime. We're beginning to see more thermonuclear war talk in the newsletters now. I've picked up two newsletters talking about the prospects of a nuclear war with China, a nuclear attack by North Korea, and a nuclear attack on Iran. Now, that's three possibilities. And remember, the Chinese are not our friends. The Chinese are not our friends. They are our sworn enemies, and they said that they're going to destroy us, and they're in the process of working night and day to accomplish that goal. We Americans are sitting over here buying goods from the Chinese as fast as we can, impoverishing ourselves, putting ourselves into feudal serfdom and credit debt slavery to the Chinese. It's a suicidal policy, in my view, but then I'm not here to tell you how to live your life or what decisions you should make. But I think you should be aware that this is a suicidal policy. You might want to rethink that. If not the nation, then at least you as an individual. Later that same year, the Inter-Religious Peace Colloquium held a conference at the place called Bellagio in Italy, by which the 1932 proposals and McNamara's papers were discussed, among others. Now, one of the first signs that the Global 2000 genocidal plan would be broadened by direct action came with the British intelligence action against the Central African nation of Rwanda, and we shall return to that tragedy. Another direct action to come as a result of McNamara's thesis and the Bellagio conference was the unprovoked attack on the ancient nation of Iraq, ordered by the Committee of 300. Some 150,000 young Iraqi soldiers capable of fathering children perished at the hands of George Bush and the Americans. In addition, at least 1 million Iraqi civilians have perished, thanks to the U.S.-inspired boycott of Iraq being carried out by the United Nations. Vitko Walrus, the deputy UN coordinator in Iraq, told the Red Cross on May the 17th. Now, that's 1 million babies perished, and 150,000 Iraqi soldiers perished. That was in Gulf War I. The civilian population of Iraq is at risk. Our food stores are empty. There is nothing, and there is nothing in the pipeline. This is only one example of the expansion of Global 2000. Another example is the genocide going on in Bosnia. where thus far at least 250,000 people have been killed in ethnic cleansing, and earlier the war in Croatia, which the West has not lifted a finger to stop. In Chechnya, another 40,000 or more have lost their lives, added to which 50,000 lives have been lost in the Armenian-Azerbaijan conflict. All of these regional wars are an outcome, an extension of the Bellagio Conference, which especially favored ethnic conflicts that would help reduce the types and numbers of people deemed undesirable by McNamara and the Global 2000 practitioners. Now, I want to point out to you one more factor. In Matthew 24, the disciples came up to the Messiah and they said, "Hey, boss, tell us what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age." And he said, "There will be wars and rumors of wars. But see that you be not troubled, the end isn't yet." Now, through the 20th century, we watched wars and rumors of wars kill 100 million people. And you heard in the first Global 2000 report of John Coleman, Bertrand Russell and H.G. Wells said it wasn't enough. 100 million people killed wasn't enough. The wars are not catching up with population growth. And remember, the agenda, the itinerary that these people have laid out for us is that they want to reduce the world's population to about 500 to 600 million people by the year 2050. Now, that's a lot of people dying, boys and girls. And they're working hard. Now, they haven't killed you yet, but they're working on it. They're working on it. They're trying. Then we must consider the many new diseases and the more ancient diseases which have been updated in the chemical and bacteriological warfare laboratories of the world, plus benign neglect in treating those diseases which were deemed not worth the expense of releasing in mass. In this regard, I refer you to the neonatal tetanus, one of the leading causes of infant mortality among the poorer nations of the world, India, Bangladesh, China, Pakistan, Nigeria, Zaire, Somalia, and Ghana. Tetanus toxoid injections would prevent the onset of the disease, but these countries have been raped by the International Monetary Fund and have no money for medicines for their own people. But then, after all, why would we want the people of India, Bangladesh, China, Pakistan, Nigeria, Zaire, Somalia, and Ghana to increase their populations? In addition, certain African countries, notably Zimbabwe, it used to be called Rwanda, and South Africa, are facing a huge outbreak of AIDS. In Zimbabwe, the AIDS epidemic has reached such terrifying proportions that towns are running out of burial grounds and funeral directors are having to bury AIDS victims three to a grave, one on top of the other. Half of the army is infected with the HIV virus, and AIDS is the biggest killer of children under the age of 5 years. Now, remember that this white paper has been written in 1995. 10 years later, 25% of the people of Rwanda, Zimbabwe they call it now, and South Africa are infected with AIDS, 37% in Botswana, and 25% in a number of countries up the east coast of Africa, up through the Horn of Africa to Ethiopia. Just mull that one over a little bit. We're running out of time. We'll have to come back and take this up again next time. Let me tell you about Global 2000, the blueprint for global genocide written by John Coleman back in 1992. To order a copy, simply call 1-800-942-0821. Or you can write to World in Review, 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada, 89706. Again, that's World in Review, 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada, 89706. Or call 1-800-942-0821. Be sure to write and ask for their catalog. There is a number of topics of essays and monologues, articles that have been written by John Coleman over the years. You'll be glad you did. Well, let's see what we got here. We got about 1 minute left. Let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School here at 417-273-4967. That's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. There's the signal. Says time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.